This is our first Glendale Fellowship of the new year. Last night was my first teaching for this new year. Got to do a Zoom teaching for the men at the Phoenix Rescue Mission, and I'm just so grateful for the privilege and opportunity to be able to teach and share God's Word in this coming new year. By the way, Reverend Cummins is continuing his Monday night meetings, and many of us have been blessed being a part of those. And if you need information on how to access those on Monday nights, just let me know and I'll get you the information. So, 2021 is here. What are we going to do? Well, we just keep doing what we know to do. We stay the course. We keep feeding ourselves God's Word on a daily basis. We keep praying. We keep loving people and looking for open doors to speak God's Word. You know, in the Old Testament, God had the prophet Jeremiah write a letter to the children of Israel. It was sent to those who were now captives in Babylon, ripped from their homes, you know, taken hundreds of miles away. Talk about a rough year. You can read the whole letter sometime. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29. But one of the things that God told him to write was, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." Well, what thoughts does he think toward him? "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Another translation has that, "I have plans to give you a future filled with hope." And God's desire for his children certainly wouldn't be any less than that. And so at times during the coming year, things may come up. And when they do, we seek God for his help. And this morning I want to teach on receiving God's help. But before we get into the Bible this morning, let's take some time for some prayer and manifestations. Well, today is Sunday, January the 3rd, 2021. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 121. It's where we're going to begin this morning. On our Tuesday Zoom prayer nights, before we pray, I usually read some verses related to prayer. And last Tuesday night, we read from Psalm 121. And in verse 1, it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." It'd be more accurately translated, "Shall I lift up mine eyes unto the hills?" Question mark. You know, the hills where all the idolatrous pagan gods were, and they worshipped them, you know, with all the idolatry up on the hills. "Shall I lift up mine eyes unto the hills? From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." That's where my help comes from. You know, we all know there is a time coming when there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. And we so look forward to that time when Jesus Christ returns. But we're not there yet. And until that day gets here, there will be times when we need help. And where does our help come from? You know, in Jeremiah 32, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" That's what God said about himself. "I'm the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Well, is there? Never. So Psalm 121 again. "Shall I lift up mine eyes unto the hills? From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Who made heaven and earth? That's the Creator. The Creator of the heavens and the earth. That's where our help comes from. It comes from a God of unlimited power and unlimited resources. in difficult, challenging times, our question should never be, why is this happening now? We know why evil things happen, right? There's still a God of this world. The Bible says, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There is evil. Therefore, we know why things happen at times. And rather than ask why, instead we consistently and persistently look to God and ask him for his help. Our help comes from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And as you know, there are many records in the Bible that show us God's help in action. And they're in there to encourage us to put all of our trust in him. And I'd like you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We'll see one of these records. There are many in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Asa is Abijah's son. Abijah was king of Judah, so now Asa is king of Judah. Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, because they had a lot of conflict back in the Old Testament, a lot of wars, a lot of battles. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Many kings did not, but Asa did. What did he do? For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves, cleaned up the place, got rid of the idolatry, the worshiping of false gods, instead of worshiping and loving and trusting the one true God. He got rid of all that crap and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. You know, this was proclaimed. Look, we look to God, the true God, the one true God, and to do the law and the commandments and to do his word. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Isn't that wonderful? So, during the quiet time, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates, bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he's given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. You know, in the good times, some people forget all about God. But here was Asa saying, look, God's given us rest and peace. So, you know, let's remember that and let's continue to be diligent. And Asa had an army of men. Well, he had rest for 10 years. What does he need an army for? Well, because there's evil in this world. So you stay prepared. Asa had an army that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. That's quite an army. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. So that's 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. The two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that made up the southern tribes, and that is what was called Judah. Israel, the 10 northern tribes. So that's why it has Judah and Benjamin. So he's got what? 580,000. That's his army. And we come to verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. That's a million. Wow, that's quite an army. A million. And in addition to that, 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And look what Asa did. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it's nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Wow, this is really something. You know, in verse 11 there that we just read, it said, with them that have no power. Even if we see ourselves as powerless in a situation, them that have no power, we still look to our God for help. For where comes my help? From the Lord who made heaven and earth. And see in that verse where it says, for we rest on thee, that word rest means to trust or to rely on. It's the same word that's used in Proverbs 3, which is probably familiar to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's that same word, rest. We don't rest on our own understanding. We don't rely on our own understanding. Instead, we trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Verse 11 again. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it's nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest, we lean, we rely on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against thee. They were outnumbered, you know, like 2-1, going up against an army of a million. And so as it says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. Yeah, they got all the booty there. They smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Wow, that sounds like more than conquerors, doesn't it? Don't mess with these folks. Wow, what a great victory from God Almighty. And Asa prayed and asked God for help because they were outnumbered. Look at another record in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here's another record. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now Jehoshaphat is king of Judah. So here come the bad actors. We're going to go to war against these guys. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to do what? To seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And here's his prayer. We get to read what he prayed. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not you God in heaven? And rulest not you over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Remember, I mentioned a verse from Jeremiah earlier. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? None able to withstand thee. Art not you our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and you gave this land to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever. That's the deal that God made. So in his prayer, Jehoshaphat is reminding God of what God did. It's a great way to pray what we know from the scriptures. And they dwelt therein, we're in verse 8, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in your presence, for your name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. God hears our prayers, and God helps. And now, behold, the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, check this out. Behold, I say, how they reward us. Look what they're doing. To come to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. They're messing with your stuff, God. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Have you ever been in a situation like that, where it seems overwhelming and you don't know what to do? What are we going to do? Well, you're not the only one that's ever felt that way. And here he is praying to God, saying, look, we are way outnumbered. We have no might against this great multitude, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And so much in this record, that in this teaching this morning, you're seeing where they seeking God, going to God, looking to God, asking God, rather than going, I don't know what to do, all is lost. No, we might not know what to do. We might be overwhelmed. We might have odds that are, you know, way too big for us. But what do? Our eyes are upon thee. We seek the Lord. We look to God. We pray. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And after this prayer, God's going to bring an answer. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, he's a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God's going to give revelation to this man. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. This is God's word to you. First thing he says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Why? For the battle's not yours, but God's. Wow, what a message. Don't be afraid of this gigantic army coming against you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they're coming up by the cliff of Ziz. You'll find them there at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You, look at this, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Go on down there, get yourselves all set up, but guess what? You're not going to need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Second time he told them that. Fear and being dismayed, discouraged never helps us. It never helps us. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face toward the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, they're following what God said to do, right? Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." You know, for us today, we can choose to believe what we read in God's word that's addressed to us. They were believing the word of God that God gave to a man, and he spoke it to them, and they're following it. They're doing what God said to do. For us today, we can choose to believe what we read in God's word that's addressed to us, written by holy men of God. What God told them to write. We can choose to not be afraid or dismayed because God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We can choose to not be afraid or dismayed because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We can choose to not be afraid or dismayed, because if God be for me, who can be against me? We can choose to not be afraid or dismayed, because fear not. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can choose to not be afraid or dismayed, because God is at work within me to will and to do of his good pleasure. We can choose to not be afraid or dismayed because God wishes above all things that we would prosper and be in health. You know, twice in this record, the word from God Almighty to those people was, "Be not afraid, be not dismayed." Let's read verse 20 again. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, here's how they're marching into battle, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I don't know what that means, but I tell you, it's probably not a good thing for you if the Lord's going to set an ambushment against you. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. They just wiped themselves out. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, this grand army coming against them, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baracha, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baracha unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies, God's help. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Maybe we should not mess with those folks. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. In times of need, we pray. We cry unto our God for his help. If you look at chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles, we're not going to read the whole record here, but I just wanted to show you a little bit, because here it is again, needing God's help. In Hezekiah, or 2 Chronicles 32, we read of Hezekiah. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, going to wipe you out, and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Well, we're not going to give him any water." Also, so he's doing the best he can. And you know, isn't that what we do sometimes in situations? We do the best we can, right? Also, verse 5, he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him." What? How can that be, Hezekiah? "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know, speaking the right words to people helps them to not be afraid and to not be dismayed. And you can read the rest of this record because it's victorious if you look at verse 22. "Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side." There are many places that we can read in the Bible about God providing help in time of need, sometimes on the grandest scale. You know, like how about the parting of the Red Sea? And of course, there are many, many verses in the Bible about praying to God. And you know, if prayer is not needed or necessary, why is it all over the Bible? In both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus taught a lot about prayer, didn't he? He said, "Ask, seek, knock." He said, "Pray and not faint." He said, "Ask the Father in my name, because the Father himself loves you." And of course, there's lots about prayer in the church epistles. So not only is there lots of about prayer all through the Bible, there's also lots in the Bible about God answering prayer and bringing his help to us. I wanted to read several verses from the book of Psalms. You don't need to turn there, but these are prayers of asking God's help. From Psalm 22, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. But be thou not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me." In other words, come quickly. in Psalm 27. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. From Psalm 37. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. From Psalm 38. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. From Psalm 40. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. From Psalm 63. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. From Psalm 71, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. From Psalm 108, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. And Psalm 109, help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy. You know, those verses and others like them are inspiring and encouraging, aren't they? When you read in the book of Acts and the epistles, you see where the Apostle Paul endured so much conflict, physically and mentally, but he continued to trust God for his help. Look at Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Paul relied on God's help, and he went through a lot physically, a lot mentally. This is when he's giving his testimony to King Agrippa. In verse 22, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. The help that Paul received was help from God. Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul got his help from God. You know, in other verses that we read about, we can see where Paul asked others to pray for him. We can and we ought to pray for others by asking God to help them. There are a number of verses that encourage us to pray for others. And remember the vision that Paul received, I believe it's in Acts 16, where it said a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia praying, saying, come into Macedonia and help us. That's the vision, the revelation that God gave Paul. For the help we need, we pray and keep praying, putting all our trust in God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's nothing too hard for him. We help other people by praying for them, asking God to help them, and by sharing the light of God's word, speaking the truth, which helps them to rely on God. And for our wonderful country in these unprecedented times, we can help. We pray. And we ask God to help our country, and we speak the light of God's word. In this coming new year, we've got to keep in mind where our help comes from in those times when we have need. And let's keep praying for others that they receive the help they need from God. And as we pray and ask for help, whether it's for ourselves or for others, we just got to put our complete trust in God Almighty, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Two more places this morning. Please go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm sure this is a familiar verse, the last verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come boldly. The word boldly means to speak freely, to speak openly, to hold nothing back. We just lay it all out. We come boldly to the throne of grace. And grace is God's divine favor. Grace is something we don't deserve and we couldn't earn. How blessed are we that we're invited to come to the throne room of God's divine favor. For what reason? That we may obtain mercy. And mercy is the withholding of judgment. God's mercy is when he doesn't give us what we deserve. His grace is when he gives us that which we don't deserve. So we come boldly to this great throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful verse that is. And I highly encourage us, myself included, in this coming year, to come boldly. You know, sometimes there's, I'll speak for myself, but sometimes there's situations where I'm just camped out. I go walking into the throne room of grace with my sleeping bag. I got to hang out here for a while. I'm just going to pray and pray and pray. I want to close in Isaiah chapter 41. And I wanted to close this morning with two verses that we could choose to live by in this coming year, regardless of what we face personally or in any other way. I'll give you a little time to get there because I would like to read these two verses in Isaiah 41, but I want to read them slowly. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, a God of all power and might, you are a God where nothing is too hard. Father God, we start a brand new year and we continue to look to you for our sufficiency, for our help, for our prosperity, for our healing, for all that we need. And Father, we just continue to praise you and thank you for your goodness and kindness. And Father, we're so grateful for the things that you've done for us in our lives up to this point, and we continue to look to you and trust you in the days ahead. God, I ask you to bless every person on this phone call and those that will hear the recording. And Father, may we continue to look to you and trust you in this coming new year. In the wonderful name of our living Lord and returning Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning as we start this new year. We're going to be back again next Sunday, unless, of course, Christ returns. Wouldn't that be grand? Please feel free to share this phone number for this call to anyone that you think might be interested in joining us. In the meantime, let's have a blessed week ahead, remembering God's desire to help us, and keep praying and expecting God to supply all that you need in your personal life, and keep praying lots for our country, and keep praying for open doors to share God's word. I love you, and may God bless you abundantly and give you all the help you need in this coming new year of 2020. God bless.